I'm Lizanne Flynn. I'm a master healer who holds space for any earthling as they reunite body and soul. I am a bridge for relationships between all species so that the heart bond becomes stronger, deeper, and more loving. I serve in the roles of animal communicator, medium, and medical intuitive, and I use the tools of shamanic journeying and soul retrieval to support all earthlings in their recovery from past trauma. I'm certified as a canine massage therapist and Reiki master teacher. This is the Animal's Eye View podcast. While preparing this week's podcast, I was futzing around with the title because I already knew that I was being asked to address the feeling of more than ennui. Such a fabulous word. By definition, a feeling of weariness and dissatisfaction. I would put it as of more than slightly blue, out of sorts, etc. Not quite depression, though, just this side of actual, dare we say, clinical depression. And not only because I was feeling ennui plus plus lately, that was also being mirrored in the journeys of my wonderful clients with whom I am privileged to partner. And if it's an animal communication session, I always have extra help because it's rare that animals feel ennui or even ennui plus plus for any length of time. They always find ways to get out of their ennui plus plus or regular ennui, whether that's through asking a bestie to play with them, whether they seek out a cuddle, whether they start with the indoor parkour-styled zoomies and other diversions, because that's just it for them. They're always guided by how whatever they're feeling and thinking feels to their body, and how they're more than eager to follow its lead, because it's an ennui plus plus. The situations associated with that might include grief over a sibling or a guardian, for instance, who recently transitioned, being rehomed for any number of reason, being surrendered to a shelter, those sorts of things. It's of note that I don't often encounter, if ever, an animal whose ennui plus plus involves something with their health. To be sure, they'll likely be feeling pain just like we do, fatigue and loss of energy like we do. I will be able to tell on my body where the area it is that they are feeling this pain, and more often than not, I will also hear some directions, such as, for instance, an organ, spleen, pancreas, kidney, a part of the body, for instance, if it's a skeletal structure, C4, L5, etc. And I may very well even see, as in clairvoyance, tissue that is red and inflamed, usually means that that's an infection or an irritation going on. Tissue that is gray is usually tissue most often that I see in the brain, for instance, following a stroke, meaning that tissue is not likely to be regenerated. What they don't have is that emotional boomerang effect that of an emotional reaction to their physical health like we do. They see no need to fix or heal whatever is going on, and left to their own devices like animals in the wild, I think they would let nature and the universe take its course. That's not to say that they're not grateful when we intervene on their behalf to alleviate specifically the pain, help them to move more easily. They just tend to be more pragmatic about how the body as a vehicle for the soul functions on earth, and they're not at all reluctant to look their transition in the eye and step into the embrace. It's an inevitability that they don't deny. I thought about using the word soul alienation, which sounded dramatic even to me as a Capricorn, because we do love a wee bit of drama at times. I thought about using the word soul death, which wouldn't really be accurate, or another combination of words that likely would have ended up not looking good on the YouTube channel title, optics being something to consider on social media, right? And honestly, the universe's idea, as directive an energy as that of the animals is, go figure, was soul alienation, which I think certainly hits the nail on the head, and I thought it was still a bit much. My perception is that we can be alienated from our soul energy at times, and yet it felt a bit clinical, I guess, if I were to use that word. I wanted to soften it a bit with the word feeling soulless, so that you all might have the thought of knowing that your soul, your inner star, as it were, can feel distant from you at times, and especially during periods of ennui plus plus, where nothing in your experience in your world seems like it's working right, that nothing is going your way, and that nothing good is ever going to come your way. True story, in one of my periods of feeling soulless, the clairaudient message was, quote, "What makes you think nothing good is ever going to happen?" Which, out of the blue like that, is still one of those messages that I've written down and I keep typed up on a paper next to my bathroom mirror to look at from time to time during other periods of feeling soulless. Because it reminds me that my vision of being in human experience is quite limited. And it's best if I summon my courage and take my hands off the safety bar of the roller coaster ride of planet Earth. In other words, let the universe take the wheel. In truth, I think that's the most challenging aspect, right, of this tough gig known as Earth for us in human experience. We've limited ourselves tremendously through our own evolution, and instead of letting our soul paths illuminate and guide our evolution like other species have and do, we've instead chosen to cut our souls off from ourselves to a significant extent. Even though they continually make themselves known through our experience by the fathoms deep emotions that we feel. Your emotions are that mirror, the reflection of your very soul itself. So when you feel that ennui plus plus, it is your soul asking you to take another look at any situation, person, place, etc., and find that the contrast, the darkness, serves the light and not the other way around. I thought about using the word spirit, which TBH is a pet peeve of mine. I wish no one in the metaphysical industry would use the word spirit or spiritual, and I'll tell you why. By definition, it is both the immaterial, intelligent, or sentient part of a person and an animating or vital principle held to give life to physical organisms. The word spiritual is of, relating to, consisting of, or affecting the spirit, incorporeal, which is having no material body or form. And whenever I talk about the word spirit or spiritual, they A, don't feel right to my body, it's uncomfortable for me, they don't resonate, and B, I hear, see, or feel all kinds of reactions from the animals, which may or may not include rolled eyes, a pretty good side eye, and including heavy sighs from all the elements. It's such massive evidence that we are disconnected already from the energy of soul, both individually and collectively for sure, because we separate conceptually, ideologically, and physically soul outside of body. It's no wonder that we talk about it as being immaterial. I already talked about, and perhaps need to revisit at some point in time, the reason why human beings chose to do that and chose to create a separate belief system, as in what you choose to believe and not necessarily what you experience in this human experience on the third planet from the star that we call Sun. Because the truth of the matter is, at least according to the animals, is that what unites us is far greater than what divides us. To quote, "Do you see us quibbling and sparring over where spots are placed on leopard? Do you see us picking fights if the shape of the fin between orca differs? Do you see us starting wars based on what an old white-haired sea lion in the sky tells us we must do?" As a side note, I'm not sure why they chose sea lion as a metaphor for the entity some would call a god. Here's what the interwebs tells us about that. In the arts and literature, sea lions represent strength, agility, and intelligence. They symbolize courage in the face of danger and an unyielding spirit despite difficult odds. Throughout history, sea lions have been depicted as majestic creatures that bravely navigate rough ocean waters and weather any storm with gracefulness. And now that you hear this, you might think of sea lion quite differently than what most would picture as a human god, because you have been taught, as was I, that an entity called a god throughout history can be benevolent for sure and also can have a bit of a temper. We have to do the right thing to appease this god, otherwise bad things will happen. Which is an interesting metaphor of the light and contrast slash duality that we perceive, except it's more unified than we give it credit for. In comparison, sea lion talks about unyielding energy, my substitute, strength, agility, and intelligence. That's quite a difference from you shall and you shall not. The focus is only on the being part, and being is what we're all here for in this experience. To be clear, this soullessness or ennui plus plus that you may feel from time to time is important to dissect and excavate and know exactly why you feel or think you feel the way that you do. In large part, it is due to the indoctrination, which is another word I considered using, of you, sweet star from the galaxy far, far away, into the A double asterisk of human experience. Lord, are we ever pushed and shoved and told what to do, what not to do, how to be, how not to be, etc., since we are babies on this planet, give or take cultural differences, because there is some of that. I've read about indigenous cultures where children are not punished for their mistakes or incorrect actions, and other Aboriginal tribes where the whole village comes to surround a person who has acted in a way not in keeping with the societal norms of that village. In this latter example, all the other members surround that person, and they just hold them. There is no blaming or shaming or saying or doing things designed to make them feel less than. In other words, there is a focus away from the mistake and back toward the place of light, the place of energy and of belonging, which I truly love because that's unified duality. If you grew up in a family where you're following in the footsteps of your parents and their parents and grandparents is crucial to being loved or being seen or being honored, it's good to question this reality. And it might be perhaps one of the underlying causes of your ennui plus plus. Because oftentimes it's not the fault of your parents or their parents that caused this separation of soul from life. They were taught to do and be this way themselves. And like peeling an onion, that your watery eyes will tell you, enough with the peeling already, we don't need to go any further. Each layer will get you closer to who you are as a bright spark of light on this planet. There's the indoctrination of societal norms, familial norms, professional norms, religious norms, etc., etc., etc. It feels like cement to me, honestly, and really incompatible with any kind of light or joy or animal energy related experience. We're not talking about work or effort or anything like that. And please, oh please, do not come at me with lessons. Ugh, that's the worst, I think. To preemptively punish ourselves and bruise our souls because of experiences of contrast that we perceive aren't shifting fast enough to suit our impatient nature, and of course, I am only speaking for myself. Light reigns supreme if we let it in, and contrast serves to direct back to the light. Plus, as your body is the vehicle of the soul, they are united, and what affects one affects the other, and vice versa. Any trauma you have, and indeed any trauma your ethnic lineage may have had, will become part of that cellular memory. What is felt by the body is experienced by the soul throughout lifetimes. It might help to think of soul as the thread that stitches lifetimes together. And hey, remember, as I am relaying my experience to you, it is critical that you check in with your body to see what resonates as true for you. It may and it may not. It's still just so important that you don't take my word for it, as the saying goes, because your soul path is different than mine, as evidenced by our separate physical forms, although born of the same design template of human. It is key that we have diversity and the richness that it brings forward, because that's why we're all here. To have all the feels of soul that we want to have, with all of the smooth planes and sharp edges that jewels themselves also have. Because you, dear soul, are a diamond, a ruby, a sapphire, an emerald, all rolled up into one on this planet that we share. It is imperative that you seek these bedazzled places within yourself and begin to think of your soul as a star. Notice what color it is and what shape it is. Is it currently lit up like Jupiter or Mars or Venus can be? Or does it seem to be somewhat dimmed? When you start to think different thoughts and feel different feelings, keep that star in your mind's eye. How do these thoughts and feelings affect the color, the shape, and the luminosity of your personal inner star? The more you can intentionally readjust your focus on that inner star and notice the mirroring effect in your human experience, the better you can feel, which is the whole point of being here, after all. And at least that's how the animals see it. Thanks for listening today. Leave a review and be sure to subscribe to this podcast. I offer all new clients a free 15-minute consultation. To schedule online, go to lizanneflynn.com. Come find me on social media, Facebook, X Twitterverse, Instagram, and LinkedIn. I encourage you to sign up for my quarterly newsletter on my website, where I also post notices for upcoming events, the starting date of courses in the Animal's Eye View Academy, and online psychic fairs. The episodes of this podcast are available on my YouTube channel, complete with subtitles. You'll find that link in my podcast footer, and be sure to subscribe. This has been the Animal's Eye View podcast. I'll see you next time.